I'd like to thank everybody for coming. As was mentioned, this Shabbos all across America is a Shabbos dedicated to Parshas Vayechi, deal with Yaakov Avinu, then the Parsha Yosef. We're both quite involved in working out their burial situation. And they exerted much effort to make sure that it was done exactly the way they wanted it. And based on that theme, this association of Chevra Kedishas here in America dedicates the past few years, this Shabbos, as a Shabbos to talk in general about Chevra Kedisha, but in specific, this organization itself does many things which are solely needed in the world today. Unfortunately, in the medical field, for those who know, you know, it's been going on already for some time, but unfortunately it's only getting worse. The constant issues that people in dangerous medical situations have, where at some point the hospital comes and they start advising people about pulling the plug, which obviously we've actually given a share about that in the past. It deals with very, very serious shailas of pikuach nefesh, and that's a big shaila. It's not something that simply could be dealt with the hospital staff. It needs rabbinic guidance. With that, caring for the elderly is also an area, you know, Baruch Hashem, with advances in technology, in general, in this population, people are living longer. But with that, there could be a good amount of time that there's elements of dealing with elderly people, sometimes parents, relatives, and knowing how to care for them, knowing all different halachas, is also part of the purview of this organization. Another area which this organization gets involved with is autopsies. And unfortunately, that comes up a lot in more, you know, larger Jewish communities. The medical office already knows, has respect for Jewish traditions, Jewish halacha, and they know that they can't necessarily do an autopsy on a body in a normal situation. B'chas Hashalom, a Jew passes away in some smaller spot, doesn't really have much of a Jewish community, or at all any Jewish community. There always are major issues. And this organization, amongst others, the Zaka organization, get involved and try to do whatever they can to prevent a desecration of a Jewish body, to preserve Kavod HaMeis, which is also a very, very big mitzvah. And the area in particular which I want to talk about today is the area of cremation. When they asked me to speak for this organization, I already had planned that I'll talk about this topic. Why did I think I want to talk about this topic? You live in Florida. Hashkacha Pratis, a story that involved a possible cremation, happened on my block just within the past couple of months. I entitled today's share, try to give some color to what could be a challenging topic, The Little Old Lady and the Big Bad Wolf, The Dangers of Cremation. And the story of what happened was, there was a little old lady on my block. She lived basically by herself. She had a caregiver that came by every so often. My block, Baruch Hashem, came out all from people. And she had some health issues. I remember one Shabbos, she wasn't feeling well, going back a couple months ago. I'm pretty sure next door neighbor to Rabbi Simon Shapiro, I think, end up calling Hatzalah. And they dealt with her, took care of her. But unfortunately, a few months later, random day, the caretaker came in and unfortunately found her that she passed away. So you have a woman, she was a widow, living by herself, she passed away. Didn't seem that she had so much contact with her children. Fact of what the neighbors knew, didn't have much of a good relationship. And unfortunately, none of the children were religious, to say the least. And there is a real pachad, a real fear of what's going to be with her. The Chavah Kedisha will call right away, but you get into legal issues. What's going to be with the body? And there's a real, real fear that it could go the way of, unfortunately, many Jewish brethren that they cremated. I remember that night after she was Nefteres, a whole chevra of women from the block went to the house, they said Tillim, and that was like a fear in everyone's mind. You know, we hope that they have proper Kavanah Meis. Baruch Hashem, at the end, she had written down on a will, on a document, that she wanted to be buried in a Jewish cemetery, which is quite a big deal. In fact, I think the story was that her husband was not. Husband had been buried in a general cemetery, not a Jewish cemetery. But she put in writing that she wanted to be buried by a Jewish cemetery, and that's what happened. I think Mr. Kopelman got involved, and Baruch Hashem, she got the Kavurah Sisera. But it wasn't an easy trip. It was a real chash that this woman would be cremated. And probably if it was up to her kids, in fact, some of them didn't have a relationship with her for years, the easiest basic way would be to be cremated. And Baruch Hashem, for the fact that she wrote it down, as well as the involvement of members of the community, so either neighbors plus the Chevra Kedisha, that she was buried. Baruch Hashem, big deal. If you look, the New York Times in 2016, going back a few years ago, one of their Sunday magazines published a whole story about cremation in America. And the stats of it are shocking. America is a country, right? On our dollar bill, we say, in God we trust. If you go through the Bible Belt of America, most people are buried. They have funerals. The normal way. However, unfortunately, a growing trend starting in the more leftist, liberal, bigger states, but slowly spreading throughout the country, is the idea of cremation. The stats, according to the New York Times, going back a few years ago, it was already over 50%, which is scary. You go back decades in America, the numbers were nothing like that. But as America slowly drifts away from religion, it's becoming more in vogue to cremate. And the Yiddish saying goes, what happens by the Goyim, fortunately, trickles into us too. And the unofficial stats in the Jewish world as a whole, are that its number is probably close to 40%.
I was going to ask if that 50% is including everybody or just in.
Yes.
Yeruchim Kopelman and I were having a conversation a few days ago. He said between 40% and 50% are in.
Yes, that sounds like an unfortunate reality. reported here. 40 to 50% of Jews, and especially we're giving a share here in South Florida, where we know there's a large, large population of Jewish people everywhere you turn. It's a scary stat that almost one in two people, for sure in general in America, but unfortunately getting close in the Jewish world, are opting for cremation over burial. And that's a scary thing. That's a sad thing. And we're going to go through today the basics of why that's so bad, why that's so scary. You look, what are the causes in general in America why people are opting for cremation? It's already alluded to, you know. Everyone knows the role of religion in America is unfortunately on the decline. Sunday is more about football than it is about going to religious institutions, shopping, but not too many cities have blue laws some days, still in America. One argument people give, it's cheaper. The cost of a funeral, especially if you have in a funeral home, taking care of the body, the transport in the hearse, till you get to the burial, easily thousands of dollars. Cremation simply, a lot of times, costs less. In general, when things get in vogue, especially in the climate of our country, it's like, it's a question on you. You're doing regular burial, really? So old-fashioned? If you're not woke, if you're not into the current political climate, like, who are you? Unfortunately, it's become in vogue. People also claim, it's part of also society, oh, it's more environmental, it's better. You burn the body versus putting it in the ground. We don't have so much space for to have cemeteries everywhere. Come on. Okay, what's the time? Scatter the ashes at sea. That we have room for. Actually, anyone knows what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, they really do have a shortage of space for Kfura. Har Menuchos is building this fascinating catacomb of caves underneath it for burial. That's the runner-up of the topic I wanted to do. But and one other reason I so brought down why cremation is gaining so much ground, excuse the pun, is because that society today is so transient. When you bury a body, you put it in the earth seemingly to last forever. Where families are constantly on the go, they live in one community, they move out. So people want to take their loved ones with them. If you cremate a body, you can carry the ashes, take it wherever you want. Fits in the U-Haul truck. These are, as I state in the New York Times, factors of what's changing in America, why the numbers are shooting up for the amount of cremations across the country.
The cemeteries are pushing that they're running out of existing space, and some of them are proposing to do two-level burials even, because they're running out of space. So it's proposing.
Right. You bring up the cemeteries, the funeral homes. It's quite interesting. Funeral directors themselves are copying the trend. And you would think, who would be the biggest people against cremations? It's the funeral directors. It's the mafia. Hey, they're losing their cut. They're losing their cut. No one's doing chapel services anymore. We have to fight it. But they see the writing on the wall. and they themselves are getting into the act of offering services for cremation and all different things. Unfortunately, even the Jewish world, Mishpacha ran an article a couple years ago where Mishpacha talks about that there are, you know, there's money to be made, people do different things. There are urns being created with Magen David on them, so it looks Jewish to cremate. People could have a locket which carries with them the ashes of a loved one. They could take them wherever they want and connects with people. Yeah, perfect for Kahanim. If you're up to cremation, we have lots of problems going to. So these are all issues which are affecting the world at large and unfortunately affecting us too. What I'd like to do today is go through where's the source of Kvura, of the mitzvah of burial in the Torah, where exactly is it from, different parameters in halacha about it, what happens when you have some of these tough situations, people want to get cremated. And we'll get to some practical cases and some fascinating stories about the topic. Now, simply, if I asked anyone in this room, where's the source of the Torah for burial? Bring me the Makar. So people will say, oh, look, Avram Avinu, it's Beferish Matarah, buried Sarah. Avram was buried in Mara, the whole Mara Samach Pela. It's the Avos. This week's Parsha talks about burial. You have Aram being buried, Moshe being buried. Burials all over the Torah. So seemingly, those are all the proofs to it. But if you look at the first Mara Malkam on your sheets, the Gemara and Sanhedrin, you'll see it's not so simple. That's a makar for burial. The actual source, the mitzvah burial, is, pun intended, is buried all the way at the end of the Torah. The 537th mitzvah in the Torah is burial. Not one of the first few. The Gemara begins, Gemara and Sanhedrin, and Vav and Mabez. Remez the Kvura and the Torah Minayin. Where is the source for Kvura and the Torah? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Ki Sakur Sikvarenu, you should surely bury him. Mikan Remez the Kvura and the Torah. I'll go into more specifically what that source is in a moment. But the Gemara then brings an interesting story. Amale Shvor Malkal or Bichama. Kvur min Torah minayin. So Shvor Malka asks Rabbi Chama, where do we know about burial in your Torah? Ishtik, he was quiet. V'lomar v'lomid, he didn't say anything to her. Amar v'achar bar Yaakov. So Alma b'yadei tifshi. Right? Why didn't he answer? He sounds silly. Yibayli l'meimar ki kover. Maybe you can read that pasuk. Cover to Grenel is make an aram. Tikberenel mashmale. So the Gemara says, you know why he didn't say anything back to him? That look, it's also pasuk even from that pasuk, because maybe it says you should put a body in an aram. But Lav Davka is a pasuk clear that you have to bury it. There's different levels. One level putting a body in an aron. Another one to put it into the land. In fact, we know that. There are people that bury loved ones above ground. So they're in an aron, they're in the casket, but they're not in the earth. So the Gemara is saying it's odd. That, hey, it's not clear from the pasuk they have to bury in the earth. So the Gemara says, the name of the Ikfer Tzaddiki. Why can't you say the proof is from the fact that all the Tzaddikim were buried? Rashi says, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Well, we have a proof from all their burials that burial in the ground is a Torah concept. So the Gemara knocks it off. Minhaga ba'alma. You have no proof that that's a mitzvah, that's an obligation. Maybe that just was the custom. Maybe the custom was, at the times of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that we find in the Chumash, maybe it was just the custom to bury. That was going on. That was a common custom in the world. But you don't see that that's halacha. So Gemara says, in the cover of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, aye. So why do you prove from there? Hashem buried Moshe. The Dvar Hashem. This is what Hashem wants. Hashem did it himself. Look at this knockoff. So the Gemara answers, no, the Lishnei Minhaga. You know why Hashem buried Moshe? Hashem's not going to fight the Minhag HaMakom. Fascinating. You know, the Rashi brings the Chumash when the Malachim went to Avram Avinu, so they ate. Why do Malachim eat? We know Malachim don't need to survive on food. Where it says, you shouldn't change from a minhag. So, till now I thought, okay, I see minhagim apply to Malachim. From this Gemara, at least as a dichoy, the Gemara is knocking off. The Gemara says, it could be minhagim applied to Hashem too. You want to know why Hashem buried Moshe? It's not a proof that that's a mitzvah, that's a chiv to do. Hashem buried Moshe because that was the minhag. But how do you know about us? So that's the Gemara just tries to bring other proofs, other psukim, enough. And all of them, the Gemara basically knocks off, maybe it's a minhag. But the basic pasuk, which we'll get back to in a moment, is this pasuk of Kavar Yikravenu. I just want to read the next step of the Gemara, because it's very interesting also. Skipping down a couple lines, four lines from the bottom. Ibayilu kvura mishim bizyonahu omishim kaparahu. Very interesting. The Gemara asks, what's the reason why we bury? Is the reason why we bury, look at the Gemara's language, is it because bizyonos, to prevent the embarrassment, the degradation of a body? The Gemara Davka focuses on the negative of the bizyon. The way Rashi says it, what's the bizyon? To see the person dead. You have, you know, the Goyish concept of having a wake. You know, I think that's part of the respect. Jewish concept is pumferkert. Seeing a person after they passed away, even if they put on makeup on him, but that's a degradation. That's a bizayon. Obviously, the Chavra Kaddish have to deal with Tahara. They could see him. But for a Stama person to pass by and see a dead body, right? That's a universal thing. Someone passes away, you cover the body. Right? Every society has, hopefully, that ideal. Right? Nowadays, sometimes they kill somebody, and pictures of the dead body are plastered all over the internet. That's a bizayon. I'm not sure even people should be looking at that. It's a bizayon to, it could be a terrorist, it could be a horrible person, but there's a certain kavod ames. Covered for a body is created in the image of God, and the Gemara says the reason why we bury is bizayon. Forget about the positive kavod ames. You're degrading the image of God when you're looking at a person and a body that's no longer living. So the Gemara brings that as one possible reason. A second reason the Gemara gives, or is because of a kapara. That when you bury a body, that is viewed as a kapara, as a means of tshuva, of a cleansing of that person's soul. And part of the process when a person, we know when a person dies, he's getting the ultimate judgment. His soul is going to be judged for whatever they did in this world. So by burying, that's a form of doing things the right way, and that serves as a merit for his kapara. Big idea. So the Gemara is not sure. What's the reason? L'may nafka mina. What difference does it make if you say it's because of bizayon or because of kapara? The Gemara says, the amar lo bi'ina de l'kuvura. Ahi gavra. The guy says, hey, I don't want to be buried. If it's because of Bizayon, so he has no power over that. The Gemara Rashi explains, because Bizayon is not just something for himself, it's an embarrassment for all of his relatives too. Anyone who's associated with this person. If his body is lying there in a disrespectful way, he just passed away and you see his body, so that's a bizayon, that's an embarrassment, not just for himself, for his family, and you have no power, you have no rights over your family's bizayon. However, v'mishum kapara, amalo b'ina kapara, if it's your own personal kapara, so look, it's your life, maybe not, but you have the choice. You want to lose out on your kapara and take more of it up there or down there from the heavenly justice? So be it. That you have power over. But if it's al bizayon, if it's in terms of embarrassment, the degradation that's going to come to your body, it doesn't just affect you. It affects your relatives, the whole family. So that you have no power over. It's interesting the way Tosos learns over there. I put Tosos on the sheet too. Tosa says, for sure, both of these are factors. When you bury your body, when you bury someone after they pass away, there are two things you're doing. You're preventing a bizayon to the body, and you're doing a kapara. The Gemara's whole question is, what's the main factor? Is the main thing this or the main thing that? But either way, it's something, they both are factors. So we'll see. I believe Moshe is going to quote this later. But these two factors of a kapara and prevent the zion, an embarrassment, a degradation to the body, are two things active anytime a person is involved in kavura. So, after you have this gemara, the gemara itself is not crystal clear. End of the day, where's the source? So the Rishonim talk about it better. I put in the sheets the Sefer HaChinuch. You know, Sefer HaChinuch explains the mitzvos. Look what he writes. Again, this is towards the end of the Torah, the 537th mitzvah. The Kavru Bo Bayom, the mitzvah is ideally to bury a person the day that he passes. Chinko HaMesim. Where do we learn the mitzvah of burying a body? The Kavro Misha Nitla by Yomahu. It's from someone who receives capital punishment. You're killing this guy who's a Rasha. Capital punishment. You hang the person. That day, after his public hanging, you bury him. That's what the Pasuk says. Ki Kavro Tikrenu by Yomahu. Lashon Sifri. Ki Kavro Tikrenu by Yomahu. Mitzvah Saseh. Let's look at the explanation of the mitzvah according to the Sefer HaChinuch. He explains, Bishur Sheyam Mitzvah, the roots of the mitzvah are Mashishkiru Zechon Evrach B'mishma Parak Nikmar Adin. Mar says, in Sanhedrin Sham, Sham Rusham, Ki Kilos Adam Tolle. The curse of a person is hung. Klomar, Shlo Yomar Abiyos, people shouldn't say, Neimaz Zet Tolle, Neisha Kilos Hashem. Hey, why is this guy getting hung? Because he cursed Hashem. Nimsa Bazkirim Zev Alosam Adover. They're going to blow it out of proportion and talk about too much. Causes bad. So interesting. This pasuk, Kavro Tikrenu, is by capital punishment. And by capital punishment, It might be an additional svara that Sefer HaChinuch is saying it's important to bury him, so this way it puts an end to that chapter of the person who did something wrong, who has to pay a price with his life. But really, this is not just a makor. If this is the dignity the Torah treats somebody who committed capital punishment, of course that dignity, as we see from the Gemara, that bizayon that we want to prevent, or that kapara that we want to give, applies to every Jewish person. Yes?
It seems like a little bit of a contradiction from everything that we just learned, that we're going to bury it on the same day. It should say you're going to bury it immediately after the hanging to be consistent with everything we learned already.
Okay, yeah, I assume when you bring up when exactly you're burying this person's capital punishment, I assume it is as quick as possible. I assume the by Yom Aru.
So why doesn't it say that? Why does it say that day? Sounds like he gets that hang around for a while.
So I'm not sure. I believe there is some idea by capital punishment. V'chola yishmu v'yirau. Is everyone should see what happened to this person. They should see and take lesson. So there is that element also. We do want him, as you put it, hanging around a little longer. But there's a shear to that. Ad kan. Bo bayom, we get the message across, but as soon as the time comes, we end it and we have to give him the proper burial. Yes?
Obviously this is going to be answered, but as of now, I don't see how this is relevant to the Stam person who's Nifter. This seems to me much more similar to a situation, we didn't have signs all over Yerushalayim to say where is the Beis HaMikdash, but we did have signs all over the place, Miklat. So people wouldn't be talking about where's your Miklat, whereas there should be a conversation about how to...
Right. You're saying, if you just had this Pasuk, it sounds like it's a special thing for killers, for capital punishment, there we bury. But you're right, I'm pointing out that the application of this concept is not limited to there. We expand it. In some ways, his logic itself, you're right, is some degree of limiting. But we apply it everywhere, and every person deserves this kapara, this lack of bizayon, by making sure that they're buried. And practically we treat it that way, is that there's 100% chiyuv to bury every single person, every Jewish person that passes away. There's another important halacha which comes up, and that's Rabbeinu Bachaya brings on this week's parsha. Let me come back to that. Rabbeinu Bachaya says, Yaakov Avinu asked, V'kavarti b'kavarasam, I want to be buried in Maris HaMachpelah, I want to be buried in the family plot. He writes, V'kan amru chazal, L'olam yikvar adam tzadik, Eitzel tzadikim, Shenemar, V'ayhim krovim ish, V'inei rozim. Chodah. Quotes another pasuk. That Rabbeinu Bachaya learns, there's a specific inyan. Here he's talking, a tzaddik shouldn't be buried amongst rishayim. Tzaddikim want to be buried amongst tzaddikim. And who are din? Well, first we'll learn out. We'll talk about this also in a moment. That a Jew should be buried by Jews. A Jew should not be buried in a Gentile cemetery. And this is a big deal. There are so many variations, where a person could be buried. And we know the traditions, right? You have Jewish cemeteries. You could have a big area that has Gentiles buried too. But as one part of the burial ground is reserved only for Jews, that's a Jewish cemetery. And even within a Jewish cemetery, a lot of times you have different chevras, different areas. Usually, in the area, especially of a big rav, a big rabbi, that is considered sacred ground. And you want to get a plot over there, it's going to cost you. I'm going to hold back from saying That's going to cost you an arm and a leg. But
that's not.
Yeah.
That's not a riot anymore. You burial. That's yeah. the only thing.
Some of that's very cultural.
If you're getting buried, it should be underneath.
Yeah. This is ready. Next phase. Assuming that there's a mitzvah to bury. But we see, this is Rabbi Mechai, or Moshe will talk about this a little more. There's an idea that one should be buried. It's a mitzvah for one to be buried amongst Jews. And even amongst Jews, it's actually brought down the Svarim that we said part of being buried is a kapara. Well, if you're buried near a tzaddik, there's a special tzchusim, that itself could help with a person with their kapara. They're in good company. They're buried next to great people. And that helps out too. It's a big Indian. And, you know, there are so many different stories of like where different Gedolim ended up being buried. And some of people that just happen to be buried nearby. I'm thinking about one that hits me. You know, in Yerushalayim, the two most famous cemeteries are obviously Har Zeisim, overlooking the Har Abayis, and Har Menuchos, which became, especially, you know, until after the Six-Day War, when there's no access to Har Zeisim. So that became, so many Gedolim passed away, Yidden passed away in that whole period. They were buried in Har Menuchos. Har Menuchos became such an amazing, amazing basic kvaros. But there's another basic kvaros, small cemetery. It's actually right down the block, not far from Chavetz Chaim Yerushalayim. The Sanhedrin of Basic Kvaros. So that cemetery, there's a tzaddik who was buried there years ago, Rav Aryeh Levin, tzaddik in our times. He was buried in that cemetery. But for the most part, there was no small cemetery. Didn't have the big fanfare of some of the other cemeteries. But Lamaisa, over the past 20 years, big Sephardic Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Ben Zion Abba Shol, the Rosh Yeshiva Parat Yosef, he was buried there. I remember a huge levaya. Rav Shmuel Berenbaum from America, he was buried there in Eretz Yisrael. He was buried over there. And then later, Maron, Rav Avadi Yosef, he was buried right over there.
Where was he buried?
In the Sanhedrin Beis HaKvaros. Mamash right by Chavetz Chaim Yerushalayim.
Down the street.
Huh? Mamash down the street. Right off the street. Yeah. Right off Shmuel HaNavi. Bar Ilan. You could go, and the Rav Avadja Kevin is right there. What I thought was so interesting. Do you know who was buried right next to Rav Avadja? I assume Stam, he had the plot there. It's actually my cousin's grandfather's. Hillel Gayid, his sort of great uncle, is Rav Pinchas Teitz. Pinchas Teitz is originally Daf Yomi tapes. Gave Shirim over the radio, the Rav in Elizabeth, New Jersey. He's buried. And that might be confusing. Was Pinchas Teitz or his brother, Rav Michal? Or his brother? No, I'm confusing. His brother, who was the Rav in Kew Garden Hills. Pinchas Teitz's brother. Happened to have Karka right there. He's one. He's buried mamash right next to Rav Avadja. Right there. Amazing thing. So, yeah, there's big schosim to be buried near a tzaddik. But for sure, for a Jew to be buried in a Jewish cemetery, it's for sure, it's a big Indian. So, practically, we see from this background, Gemara, Rishonim, that there's a mitzvah to bury every Jew. There's a mitzvah to bury him in a Jewish cemetery, ideally in the best possible chevra of people. What that means practically is when you have a cremation, a shiloh about a person being cremated, that's a big deal. Because you're missing out on kvuras yisrael. If you cremate that body, there's no kvura. Rav Moshe will go through this in a moment. I'll show you inside. Kvura is only for a body, for a shedra, for a spine, for the bones of a Jewish person. Once you're cremated and there's nothing but ash, there's no issue about burying. You can put the ashes in the ground, but that's not burial. Burial is to a Jewish body as is. And someone, Rahman al-Tzlan, doesn't get Kavuras Yisrael, gets cremated. So then, anyone who could get involved to help a Jewish person be buried, that's what you call a mace mitzvah. Mace mitzvah. Right? We know the halacha of a mace mitzvah. You're walking down the street, or not down the street, you're out hiking in the middle of nowhere, and you find a guy. I guess nowadays it's not a raya if you see a mugging dove on him, it could just mean his father's Jewish. But let's say you come across a body and you find out that he's Jewish, and you're a kohen, hike in the middle of Africa somewhere, find a body, you're able to confirm this is a Jewish body. There's no one else there to bury him. Halacha is even a kohen, kohen gadol, a nazir, everybody, meis mitzvah, any Jew gets involved. It's such a big inyan to bury a Jewish body, especially where there's no one else to do it, where there's no one else to do it. Everyone has to get involved in that mitzvah. What's interesting is the cremation issue is something which is, in a certain sense, easier. You don't have to get your hands dirty. It's not where you find the dead body and you have to put it into the ground. It's a means of communicating and talking with people and convincing them this is the right way to go. And that for sure anyone could do, including Kohanim. I want to go through a few interesting shailas, which will put this even more into perspective. There's a sefer I came across, Osher Weiss from Eretz Yisrael quotes it, Shal Tshuvas Machne Chaim. It deals with a very interesting shaila. There was a Jew, sounds like going back a while, who traveled through non-Jewish countries, and he didn't represent himself. He was a businessman. Didn't represent himself as a Jew. Nobody thought he was Jewish, didn't act like a Jew. This is how he lived his life for business. And seems there is an issue. He wanted to write into his will that he was afraid one of two things. Look, I'm going to die in this city. They're just going to bury me in the regular cemetery like everybody else. So to prevent being buried in a Gentile cemetery, should I write in my will to cremate myself? That's the issue the person was dealing with. So the Rav, Shal Tshuvas Machne Chaim. Firstly, it sounds like in the tshuva he gave him quite a bit of tochacha for why you carrying yourself as a non-Jew your whole life, right? And perhaps maybe that's why you dealt with such an issue now that you lived your whole life as a non-Jew. So maybe that's why you're dealing with the fact they might bury you as a non-Jew too. But then he comes out and says, his psak is, it would be better to be cremated than to be buried amongst non-Jews.
Who said that?
This Shal Machne Chaim. I don't know who the author is, but the Minchas Asher, Asher Weiss, Meretz Yisrael, brings us in the Sefer. In contrast, on the back of your sheets, I have a long tshuva here from a Moshe. It's from Chelech Ches of the Igros Moshe. From Moshe was dealing with somebody, the situation was a Jewish person who lived in Russia. And we know in Russia, communist Russia, where all religion was forbidden. So the situation was, there was no such thing in Russia as a Jewish cemetery. And this family had a loved one, had a father, who was buried in the common Russian cemetery. And they were getting out of Russia, and they wanted to take their father's body with them. They knew they were getting into trouble.
Was the father buried?
He was already buried in Russia amongst the goyim. And they decided the best way to get him out would be to cremate him. So they cremated their father's body, took him out in his ashes, felt they could get out of Russia. And now they were coming to Ramosha with the Shiloh. Could they bury him? Could they bury those ashes in a Jewish cemetery? Both sides, this is the Shiloh itself. It's so sad. This is what happened to Jews in Russia.
He died and they buried him
in Russia in a Gentile stadium cemetery. They want to take him out by cremating him and then bury him in America and Israel. So firstly, Ramosha goes through the facts, sadly telling them that unfortunately, once you did the step of cremating him, there's absolutely no chiyuv to bury him. Burial is only for something that's left over. So once ashes, the definition of something being left over is the shadra, the spine, is the skeleton of a person. Once you destroy that, there's no chiyuv of burial. Rav Moshe, though, does say that, hey, look, since this is your father, Moshe has an interesting chiddush. What's the halachas of kibud av ha'eim? Moshe assumes kibud av ha'eim is not limited to things which are actually an honor for your father, but things that the world perceives as honor is also true. Even if it's something that really has nothing to it, but the world perceives this as some degree of an honor, that could be kibud av ha'eim too. So Moshe felt in this situation where you're doing it as a child because you care for a father, you want to bury him. By all means, you want to do it, you could do it. There's no chiva burial, but you could do it. He even says people shouldn't stop them. You're burying someone who's cremated in this. He says, doesn't mean anything. Doesn't take away in any part from the cemetery. But Ramosha then touches on this Shiloh. He says, look, in retrospect, this is the sad point of Jews in Russia. Many of them didn't have anyone to ask. They didn't know any better. They grew up without a Jewish education. The ultimate Rachmanos, the most dangerous thing is Jews who grow up without a Jewish education. You didn't know any better, you didn't have anyone to ask, anyone to teach you. But Ramosha says, if you would have asked me the Shiloh, it would have been better for you to leave him buried in a Gentile state than to cremate him. Ramosha writes, it's on the third column on the top of the page. It would be better for you to bury him. The kvura avikapara. Ramosha quotes the Gemara we started with, that burying a body is a kapara. You still have that kapara wherever he's buried, by Gayim, by an akum. He says, not make a rare the kapara. And he says also the whole Isser to be buried amongst Goyim, amongst the Rasha, is also his kavod. But the Inyan of Chas HaShalom burning a body, cremating a body, that's much worse than burying him in a Gentile cemetery.
Who said that?
Moshe Feinstein. So when I read this piece, I realized we should publicize this. Anyone who ever has a situation, this organization talks about that it's very kedai for a person nonchalantly, if you know any secular Jews you interact with business-wise and this, be able to have a conversation about what are your plans for eternity, to bring up this issue about being buried. Think about it this way. Would you ever consider, a person, even a secular Jew, would you ever consider being buried in St. John's Cemetery? No. I wouldn't do that. So you know what? The greatest authority of modern times, Moshe Feinstein, says cremation is worse than being buried in St. John's Cemetery. Doesn't matter if they put a Magen David on the urn or you carry in a locket the ashes into synagogue for Yizkor. Right? It's not Tommy Mace, don't worry about it. But Ramosha says it's worse to be cremated than to be buried amongst Goyim. As long as left their Moshe.
Besides Kahara, what else does a person lose out on by being?
He said that's the ultimate design of a mace. You're embarrassing the body. It's hurting the body. We find in Sfarim that there's a tremendous amount of pain that Neshama has when it separates from the body. And that's part of the reason why every moment a person could be buried quicker, it eases the pain. And all the things done during the year of Shiva, during the year of Avelos, all the different stages from Shiva, Shloshim, 12 months, are a means of easing the pain of that Neshama. Chas Hashem, when the Neshama is callously burnt, it hurts.
How about the rising from the dead? Did they lose out on that?
So, a good question. I did not see that brought down anywhere. There's no Tchias HaMesim. You know, it might be a tricky thing because it talks about Tchias HaMesim starting with the Shedra, different bones, Malka bone, right? But,
unfortunately, there's plenty of people that were bringing it.
Right, right. The people in the Holocaust who went through this, Avada, 100% we believe, they'll be the first ones there for Tchias HaMesim. These other situations, not so simple. But hold on. I'm sorry, this is a fascinating topic. I found that put in the bottom of your sheets, they talk about also, could you have a levaya for someone who's cremated? Again, also, he said, ideally, you know, if there's a levaya for someone who's cremated, and not so simple for a person to go to it. It might be misayaya, you're assisting someone doing something not the best possible way. If a person is a tina chenishba and he didn't know any better. Okay, maybe. What can you do? But this Mishnah Halacha is right. Even ideally, a person should get involved with that. But either way, cremation is—it's a bad thing. I want to tell over two stories, two amazing stories that I saw involving cremation. There was one secular Jewish person who was ready to writing up his will and was going to put in the clause to cremate him. And one of the grandkids, who was a Baal Tshuva living in Israel, found out about it. And they spoke to the grandfather about it. And this grandchild was able to convince grandpa that, hey, it means a lot to us. Please, leave. We want to connect with you even after you're gone. Please, let's do it the Jewish way. Burial, we have a gravesite. That'll be the ultimate respect for you. And they're able to convince them. Sometimes family members don't want to get involved because it's too touchy. But we saw the bezayon of a mace not being buried is not just a bezayon for the father. It's a bezayon, Rashi told us, for the whole family. And it's something that's achrayus in the whole family. But it's not just families. Really, anyone to talk to any associates, the importance of Jewish burial, where the rates are going up and up, the amount of people doing it. I'll tell you another story, an absolutely amazing story. This is written up in Mishpacha magazine. This Mrs. Robin Meyerson was a secular Jew who, Baruch Hashem, became a Baal Tshuva. She was a big advertising executive in Scottsdale, Arizona. And she became from, got involved with the Kollel, I think in Phoenix. And today, this woman is actually the West Coast representative of this organization, National Association of Chevra Kedishas. So she herself started getting involved with Chevra Kedishas. And right after she did her first Tara, her uncle, story calls it, Uncle Arnold, passed away. And being the fact that she was cognizant now of these halachas as a new Baal Tshuva, she tried talking to her cousins, hey, you gotta bury Uncle Arnold. You gotta bury him. And the family wasn't religious and they didn't want to do it. And they were fighting her, and she knew how to sell things. She was in marketing. She was trying. Maisa didn't go. This woman said, okay, look, I'm not getting anywhere with the burial. I want to do something for my uncle who passed away. And there's an organization, Chevra Lomdei Mishnayis, a place in Lakewood. You give them money and they'll set up someone to learn Mishnayis. Zecher Nishmas and Nifter. So she reached out to this organization and paid for Mishnayis to be learned for this uncle of hers. That same night, she signed up, they started learning Mishnayis that day. That night, Uncle Arnold's daughter had a dream. Uncle Arnold came to her in a dream and begged her, please, please, please bury me. This is a totally secular person. She ain't dreaming of people coming to her in dreams. She did not want to bury her. She had her mind made up. But the schus of learning Mishnayis, her father came to her in a dream. She gave in, buried her. It's amazing. She told this lady, you can't imagine the merit you have for what you did. Story has it. It's printed. This lady, when this whole thing happened, was 44 years old. With the next year, on the yahrzeit of Uncle Arnold, this lady had a baby boy. 44 years old. Pashat Aschus for being osik in it. The woman who was involved, this Mrs. Meyerson, the one who pushed for it, she had a child born a year later on the yahrzeit of this Uncle Arnold. And really, it's Mefarsh Rabbeinu B'chayim, this week's parsha. Rabbeinu B'chayim, at the end of the parsha, says, when you take care of, really, Rabbeinu B'chayim is talking about all mitzvahs, but Kol Shekein, the mitzvah of Kvuras Ameis, which takes a lot of involvement. Yaakov asked Yosef to please be involved and take care of all the details of my Kvura. Yosef was faithful to his father, did exactly that. What happened? When Yosef passed away, he had the ultimate honor of Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest leader of all time of Jewish people. He himself, Vayikach as Atzmos Yosef, he took the Atzmos Yosef out of Mitzrayim and made sure they'd be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbeinu B'chayim says it goes one step further in the cycle. Moshe Rabbeinu, when everyone else was involved with Bezos Mitzrayim, he got involved with taking care of the Atzmos Yosef. He was dedicated to that mitzvah. When Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter, he had the ultimate kavod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kvodo v'atzmo was the one who buried him. And anyone who gets involved in any measure, whether it's supporting a Chevra Kedisha, publicizing, it's still mind-boggling what goes on in this community. It's such a beautiful thing. Anytime it needs help with something involving Kfura, the word gets out, there are people to speak to, and things get done. We have a big achrayis living in Florida. There are a lot of elderly Jews there, a lot of people to take care of. But the community responds to the challenge. You realize the schusim that one gets, especially if you're able to convince somebody who otherwise would not be buried, to have a burial. The schusim, it worked for Mrs. Meyerson. She had a baby on her uncle's yahrzeit. It worked for Yosef. It worked for Moshe Rabbeinu. That should be a schus for all of us. Thank you very much for listening.